So good, our God, to be able to sing songs which declare the greatness of who you are. They remind us, and then they become convictions in our spirit, and they build our faith. Lord, we are a resurrection people, and we thank you that in Jesus we have a living hope. And we pray, Lord, that we would know more of your presence. That in the encounters that we have with you, we would have incredible visions of your glory, which would touch us here on earth, that we might reflect something of heaven in this world. God, draw us in this morning. Thank you that you take us as we are, but you don't leave us there. You speak words of life. You cover us under the shelter of your wings. You breathe Holy Spirit life into us, and you resurrect our souls to live in the fullness of your great love. Meet with us, we pray. As God's people, we come seeking you. And all of God's people said, Amen. Well, good morning. Please take a seat. You doing okay? Fantastic. That was so convincing. We are going to have some good time sitting in the scriptures this morning, and it's going to be good. Just a couple of things before we get going. Firstly, I just think it is just brilliant what has happened in the tennis. Just winning feels good, and the way that Ash Barty went about winning Wimbledon with an incredibly humble spirit, I think we've got every reason to be proud of her and the way that she went about that. Who did see that? Okay, a few of you. Well done. Hey, it's good. Hey, the other thing is that Dylan Alcott, who is a wheelchair athlete, won a championship yesterday as well in the Netherlands. So that's just fantastic. Two Aussies winning yesterday in the tennis, and the way they go about it, I think, is the right way, with great humility. So we just celebrate that which has taken place there. Also, just to let you know that Scott did manage to get to New Zealand. All right? So, Scott, talking to you right now, bud. Hope you're having a great time. I know that you are definitely watching church with your family and you're praising God, dancing in your own way, but we love you and we're thinking of you. And right now everyone's going to say, G'day, Scott and Mary. One, two, three. G'day, Scott and Mary. There we go, the beauty of online church. That's recorded for all time. So, Scott, we do hope that you get back, though, brother. There's a couple other things. just want to say thank you for last weekend because in this crazy flip and switch that we've had over the last 18 months, I have just been so grateful for who you are as a church, Hope Valley, here on site and online and the various ways that we continue to be true to God and the gospel and our life together and letting the Holy Spirit keeping on moving. And I'm just so thankful, put it that way. I actually do know that there's one couple that when Dave played Love Is in the Air online last week, that there was a couple who got up and danced in their lounge room. How cool is that? And I know that more of you think, oh, I might go back there and dance with my spouse because you're a great dancer. Now you've just been reminded to do that. You can go and do that. Hey, but I do want to say thank you because it has been a challenging season through all of this. And to have a people of God who keep being faithful to who we are, to keeping on allowing us to adapt and change, but continue the great mission that God has on us, I'm incredibly grateful for. In fact, just last Sunday night, I got to the end of the day, and to be honest with you, if I could just open up the window of my soul a little bit here this morning, I felt just the weight of responsibility for our community and for who you are, the decisions that myself and our team members make and how it affects you and all that was going on. And I just got to the end of the day and I just felt the weight of that. And I went to bed feeling that. I, by God's grace, had a great sleep. I woke up in the morning and in my prayer time, I just brought that burden to God. I said, God, this is what I'm feeling. And God, in a gentle whisper, as he does, just whispered, Kynan, you're not alone in that burden. You share that with all the people of Hope Valley. And so I was just relieved of that. We had a great day together as a family. But the Lord spoke and he just reminded me of how good you are as a people of God. And I want to say thank you for the way in which you're just able to keep on adjusting through these times. Also, I want to say thank you again for the mission offering through June, which has been that's $10,000 gone to India to support them. You're incredibly generous. You keep on seeking out what God is speaking to you, and you put your money where your mouth is. And the way in that God distributes those resources is just phenomenal. And I thank you for being a part of God's unfolding mission in that way. And the response has just been outstanding. And so thank you so much. Well, we've just finished up 10 weeks talking about love. Now that we've finished up talking about love, I just want to let you know, please keep living it out. It's not like, oh, great, now we've loved, we can leave that behind and just go on with our lives. No, the call to love is the very core of who we are, and we move on with that. I think we probably could have done another 10 weeks on love, such is the depth of that subject, about how we understand more of God's love for us, and how we live that out is so powerful. And, it was such a rich series. We're going to have 2 weeks, and I'm going to talk about the presence of God. And then after that, we're going to have a 10-week series talking about life lessons. And we're going to be talking, the series is called Secrets from the Mountain. And it's going to be a very insightful series which will teach us how to really gauge success in life. And I believe it will equip us and set us forth great in this life that we have together as God's people. But I'm going to spend 2 weeks right now on the presence of God, and I've just been prompted to lead into that. Today I'm going to be sitting particularly within the Old Testament and talking about how God's presence is manifesting itself there. And then next week I'll talk about how that impacts us and lives itself out in ministry. And so today I'm going to be taking you and journeying you towards the heart of God, and then next week we'll talk about how the very presence of God and Jesus' work amongst us and the Holy Spirit actually is about bringing more of God's kingdom into this world through his presence. So it's going to be in two parts, and I encourage you just to journey with us as we get into that. This message today is called A Foot in Both Camps. And this is picking up this beautiful idea of how Moses shows us to live life, Moses, the great Old Testament leader, but also be in God's presence. He really says, well, you've got a foot in one camp where you're living life, and then you've got this other one where you go and meet with God, and how those two intersect and meet with one another. They will impact one another, but you eventually want to have the one, the camp that you are in with God, to impact the camp that you have in life. And that's the essence of what I am saying here this morning. So if you can turn to the scriptures in Exodus chapter 33, and we will pick this up. What we have here is that the Israelites people are a nomadic people now. They have left Egypt, they've been delivered out of Egypt, and they are gathered here at Mount Sinai. They have just been pulled up abruptly for worshipping a golden calf. And as they are trying to understand themselves as the people of God on the way, Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai and had to go through lots of stone tablets and commandments because of the way in which people reacted, and he broke them in anger, and one set has another set. And now these people are moving on, and they are led by a pillar of fire at night, a cloud, pillar of cloud during the day. And they are ready to move on. They've been called to move on from Mount Sinai. So they are now going to be a nomadic people, okay? Now, the Ark of the Covenant is going before them. But when they stop, what they have is that Moses has the camp of this huge community, a million or so people. And then outside the camp, they would have Moses has set up this place, which is called the Tent of Meeting, where the Ark of the Covenant is and where Moses and people can go and be in the presence of God. It's actually quite a beautiful image that here you have your everyday life going on, got all your tents set up, your daily life, and then there is a place where you can go to be in the presence of God, and it's called the Tent of Meeting. So I'll pick it up from Exodus chapter 33 from verse 7. Now, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses, listen to this, face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Here we have this incredible picture of a place where Moses would go and be in the presence of God. Did you know that presence is translated as face? This is the place where he would go and be face to face with God, in the very presence of God. It must have been incredibly important for him in his life. And must have been not just incredibly important for him, but also the people, that they would also have a place to go and be in the presence of God. Friends, as we start to think about what it means to be a people who should normalize being in the presence of God as believers, are we of a place where we have a tent of meeting, where we encounter God face to face? Because if we encounter God face to face, it's actually a place where we are actually very vulnerable. We are fronting up and being with him in this way. How necessary was it that they would have a place to have, we call the tent of meeting, to go in and experience God's presence? Well, what we find is that with Moses, this great fearless leader, it was obviously very, very important, because it was here that he heard from God. It was here that he was able to be real and authentic before God, in and amongst the responsibilities that he had, and they were large. We'd recall that as these people were being delivered out of Israel, this huge community that Moses was responsible for, that it started to become overwhelming for him. And Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes and gives Moses some advice about how to keep going on in this environment. This place where you've got to keep the morale of the people up, where you've got to set them know that there is a promised land, but how are we going to exist when we are kind of a nomadic people, and how are we going to set ourselves up? Jethro comes to Moses and says to him, "What you are doing is not good." That's the way in which he's managing things. "You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you." Listen to this. You are not able to do it alone. What a great truth that is. Anyone who thinks that they can do life alone is fooling themselves. "Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide among themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. And if you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their places in peace." So Moses has this incredible responsibility. The reality is, only the really big burdens come to him now. How much easier did that get for him? Oh, but don't worry about the little stuff, Moses. You just worry about the big stuff and you'll be right. Moses going, "Oh, thanks, Jethro. Appreciate that." What Moses does, he has this great responsibility. He knows that with these huge burdens, that life for him is carrying the weight of this community. He knows that unless he is right with God, this is going to be an impossible task. He knows that unless he has it sorted out in the presence of God, he is not going to be able to fulfill the God-ordained task that God has given to him. And so he creates a tent of meeting, where in the Old Testament the very presence of God is most fulfilled. And here it is that Moses goes. And the people witness their great leader going into that tent, closing the flap and being with God. You know what's interesting when we read this story in Exodus chapter 33? Is that everyone had the opportunity to also seek out the Lord and go to the tent of meeting. I think that's just beautiful. Because sometimes we think, oh, maybe it's just Moses who has this time with God. But it's not. Everyone is given the opportunity. It says in the scriptures, and everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting. Friends, what we see here is even in this Israelite community, the people who are very defined by God, there is no separation between who they are, their culture, and God's action. That even in this community, there are some who obviously do not seek out God. Because it says here, everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent. It doesn't say that everyone sought the Lord. It only says that those who sought the Lord. I find this fascinating. Because I just see this live itself out so time and time again, even in the midst of God's people. There are some who say, when it comes tough or when I'm going through life or even when it's good, I'm going to keep on seeking out the Lord. And there are some who say, I'm not. For whatever reason, and I've heard a lot of them over the time, I'm not going to seek out the Lord. The beauty of God's presence, right, is it's an invitation to everyone. Any one of us can come into God's presence. There's been a way which has been made known. But not everyone takes up that invitation. Friends, if I could bear the soul of my pastor's heart again, there have been plenty of times when I've just had to work with people as they just talk about the pragmatics of how they fix their life. And I say, listen, can you please, before you just try to band-aid that up, can you go and seek the Lord? Can you go into the presence of God and there, honestly, authentically, let God read you and be your friend and reaffirm you? Because we can start band-aiding and all the other practical things, but unless you know the beauty of being in the presence of God, this is always just going to be talk as we try to fix the things that are going on for you. You see, what we have here, first and foremost, is an invitation that is presented to us to go into the presence of God and be real and honest before him. And Moses exhibits that. I just think about this poor guy. Even when he's going to the tent of meeting, all the other people come out from their tents and stand at post as he goes. Talk about having no place to hide, right? He goes into his tent, the tent of meeting, into the presence of God. And I can just imagine, right? He goes in there and he closes the flap, sits down and goes, God, yeah, you don't have any idea about what I'm having to deal with. They've left me with all the big burdens. I don't reckon there was a stool there. I reckon he needed a day bed, right? I think it's great that he had created a space which was a way where he could go and go, whew, I can now breathe before you, God. There's so many expectations on me. The burdens are so great. The responsibility are off the charts. We can't even be settled we have to pick up and leave. God, do you know? Do you know what I'm having to deal with? Do you have any idea about what this is doing to me? And he is laying it bare before God. And how the scripture writes this is that Moses talks to God like he's a friend, face to face. You know what that means to me? It's that he kind of just strips his soul bare. He kind of comes back to just who he is and go, God, I can speak to you as a friend because I know you're going to take me as I am. If the community know what was in my past, they wouldn't follow me. If they really knew the doubts that I had, how are they going to pick up and lead on when we go from here? I don't have a blueprint map. We have a sense that it's going to be a long haul here. The people are recalcitrant. They haven't even worked out how to worship properly. And you've placed this responsibility in my hands. Can you think about the honesty that he'd have before God? How critical that is to his spirit. Because what he is talking about, God, in your presence, I have a foot in this camp with all that life brings it and all the responsibilities I carry, but I am so grateful, Lord, that I can come and be in your presence and put a foot in this camp. And he brings all of this and he brings it all to that. And in the beautiful transference, miracle of God's presence, God starts to say, yes, this you bring into here, but then this is going to take over here. And there are some things that can only be solved in the quiet place where the kingdom of God breaks in, and this in my tent, in my presence, can end up being victorious and winning over here in this camp. See, friends, the reality is God invites us to have a foot in both camps. But the invitation is to have one impact the other and not have the other take over the presence of God. And that's the invitation that is given to any one of us. And Moses models it. He comes in, shares before God, and God starts to do a work within him. For here he is undistracted. He's in the presence of the Almighty. He's with a friend. There's an awesome reverence, but there's not a fear in the presence of this perfect love. I guess I've come to know that it's there in that place that as believers we have an invitation to come into the Holy of Holies. We'll talk more about that when we get to the New Testament. But ultimately, we are allowed into the presence of God. And it's such a beautiful gift given to us. If I was to reflect on the effects of the last 18 months, I would say there has been a great unraveling. That leading up to that, people kind of had a sense of the predictability of the future. If I do this, I will get that. The props, the constructs, everything has been challenged. Many people have been unraveled. If you don't know the presence of God, that unraveling can be so unsettling. But if you know the presence of God, God says, yes, all of that's going on, but I know you. And I'm going to hold you. And then I'm going to speak as a friend to friend, and I want you to hear my voice. And I'll rebuild you, and when you go out, you'll have something which is of infinite worth, which is unchanging, which is rich, which is a treasure, because you know my presence. You've met with my glory. You have a sense of the eternal. You're living in a different way, even as the swirl of life revolves around you. It is the beauty of the presence of God. And as I said, some things can only be solved in the quiet place before God. in the undistracted place. Think about the world in which we live, which is so fast-paced. And I'm reminded of those who lived in simpler times. 300 years ago, there was a monk by the name of Brother Lawrence. You might have read some of his material, but this little book, The Practice of the Presence of God, has just encouraged believers some 300 years. Most of it is letters to people with questions. He writes this in his eighth letter. Dear friend, you aren't the only one to be distracted from the presence of God. I understand completely. Our minds are so flighty. However, remember that our God-given wills govern all our strength. We must recall our minds to God. Otherwise, our spirits may wander, dragging us down to the things of this earth. I think the remedy for this problem is to confess our faults to God and humble ourselves before Him. It isn't necessary to be too verbose in prayer, because lengthy prayers encourage wandering thoughts. Simply present yourself to God as if you were a poor man knocking on the door of a rich man, and fix your attention on His presence. If your mind wanders at times, don't be upset, because being upset will only distract you more. Allow your will to recall your attention gently to God. Such perseverance will please Him. Another way to prevent the mind from wandering away from God during prayer is to train yourself to dwell in His presence all day long. This will provide a sort of practice for you as you remind yourself to concentrate on Him. Remaining in His presence during prayer time will thus become easier. You know from my other letters how advantageous I think it is to practice the presence of God. Let's take this act of loving God seriously and pray for one another. I remain your brother in Christ. The invitation is actually to practice the presence of God. Moses showed how intentional he was to get into His presence. He modeled that. Others took it up. And there, in the presence of God, in the authenticity of who he was, sharing his burdens and who he was, God was able to remind him how precious he was, the purposes that he has for him, and then send him back into the camp to have an impact amongst the people. The interesting blessing that comes from those who know how to practice the presence of God is alluded to in the scripture where it says, and as he came out, the people worshiped God. They praised his name. When you practice the presence of God, God starts to put a word of praise on your lips. For out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And when the heart has been in the presence of God, all that can result is praise to God. 2 weeks ago, I woke up early and I thought, oh, it's quiet. Now, that's nice in my house. That happens once a decade. Got up early. I thought, I'm just going to get out for a walk. We've had a great winter, haven't we? Crisp, some rain. I thought, I'm just going to get out in the fresh air. So I kind of rugged up, chucked on a beanie, and I started walking up towards Anstey Hill. And I thought, this is so good. And for the first part of the walk, man, was I loading it on God. God this, God that. Hear me, God. But it was close, it was intimate. I was very real and authentic before God as to all that was going on. And as I started to get up towards the national park, I just had a sense that things started to shift in my spirit. You see, I'd gone from walking with the camp right here, all that life carries. My head was down, power away. And as I started to get more into the hills, I sensed my spirit lift, my eyes raise, and I started to see the early light breaking through, the glint of the rain on the gum trees, the path which was starting to unfold before me. And from within, I started to praise God. And an overwhelming sense of gratitude for life came to me, and I praised God for who he was, started off with adoration. And then I started praising him for the community that I'm in, for the people in my life, for the purpose that I have. And then it turned into prayer for so many of you. I started here and it ended out there simply from being in the presence of God. God invites us in because that's where the victory is, to be restored and renewed. It's an invitation. And I want us to be a people that every single one of us seeks it out. Not just a few, but all of us who go there to that place. And in the great unraveling which is going on, God will put it all back together. And we'll go forth in the power of his presence. Do you have a tent of meeting? Were you honest and real? Do you have a sense that once it's all out, then you pause and God speaks to you as a friend? And then do you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe into your soul and take to that place of wholeness and praise? Because that's the power of the presence of God. Deep calls to deep. Praise his holy name. Oh, that God would take us there and meet with us face to face. Let's pause in prayer before our God. Our God, our Creator, and our friend, who meets with us who invites us in and delights being in our presence. We're in awe of you, but it's a reverent awe that you would meet with us. You hold us gently. And you invite your kingdom to touch us deeply so that it might impact the life that we lead here on earth. Lord, I pray that there would be no gap between your presence and your people here today as we seek you out. Lord, I pray that you would take us and in sweet communion with you in that quiet place, might we know deep truth about your life in us and your sustaining presence. Lord, we know that the sense of your glory touches us and we reflect that. But Lord, may it not just be a surface touch, but may it be a deep work within us. And Heavenly Father, as we meet with you, as we seek your face, May we hear your voice of life, purpose, of understanding and empathy, of mercy and abundant grace, of healing and of wholeness. Lord, we thank you that we can bring to you any burden, large or small, and you hear our prayer and you take that burden upon yourself. We thank you, Lord, that you also set us apart to live for you. What a great joy that is. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are with us at all times and we can escape into your presence and know your goodness in very real and tangible ways. We give you thanks, our God, that we can meet with you in this place, in this sanctuary. In your name we pray. Amen. Friends, as we stand to sing and close our service here this morning, it could be that you're going, you know what? I want to have some prayer. I want to extend this time of being in the presence of God. And Dean and Ginny will be here on site to be able to pray with you. And I encourage you to do that. Not necessarily because things are totally unraveled for you or anything, but it could be that you just want to know more of the depth of God, his life in your life. Come and have some time in prayer. But also, as we sing this song, I encourage you to go from having the presence of God and who you are authentically before him to come out in praise, to praise our wonderful Maker. So let's stand and sing together here this morning.